make this prophecy. Chapter 37 was the Valley of Dry Bones, and boom, here we come for these two prophecies. 39 really reiterates how God's going to do it. Let's read chapter 38, about two columns in my Bible, just a little bit more, but hang in there, pay attention, try to absorb it. Ezekiel chapter 38, verse 1, "And the word of the Lord came unto Ezekiel, saying, Son of man, set thy face against Gog, the land of Magog, the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal, and prophesy against him, and say, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I am against thee, O Gog, the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal, and I will turn thee back and put hooks into thy jaws, and I will bring thee forth in all thine army, horses and horsemen, all of them clothed with all sorts of armor, even a great company with bucklers and shields, all of them handling swords. Persia, Ethiopia, and Libya with them, all of them with shield and helmet, Gomer and all his hands, the house of Togomar of the north quarters, and all his bands, and many people with thee. Verse 7. Be thou prepared, and prepare for thyself, thou and all thy company that are assembled unto thee, and be thou a guard unto them. After many days thou shalt be visited. In the latter years thou shalt come into the land that is brought back from the sword, and is gathered out of many people, against the mountains of Israel, which have been always waste. But it is brought forth out of the nations, and they shall dwell safely, all of them. Verse 9. Thou shalt ascend, and come like a storm, and thou shalt be like a cloud to cover the land, thou and all thy bands, and many people with thee. Thus saith the Lord God, It shall also come to pass that at the same time shall things come into thy mind, and thou shalt think an evil thought. And thou shalt say, I will go up to the land of unwalled villages. I will go to them that are at rest, that dwell safely, all of them dwelling without walls and having neither bars nor gates, to take a spoil and to take a prey, to turn thine hand upon the desolate places that are now inhabited and upon the people that are gathered out of the nations, which have gotten cattle and goods, that dwell in the midst of the land, Sheba and Dedan, and the merchants of Tarshish, with all the young lions thereof, shall say unto thee, Art thou come to take a spoil? Hast thou gathered thy company to take a prey, to carry away silver and gold, to take away cattle and goods, to take a great spoil? Verse 14. Therefore, son of man, prophesy and say unto Gog, Thus saith the Lord God, In that day when my people of Israel dwelleth safely, shalt thou know it? Shalt thou not know it? And thou shalt come from thy place out of the north parts, thou, and many people with thee, all of them riding upon horses, a great company and a mighty army. And thou shalt come up against my people of Israel as a cloud to cover the land. It shall be in the latter days, and I will bring thee against my land, that the heathen may know me, when I shall be sanctified in thee, O Gog, before their eyes. Thus saith the Lord God, Art thou he of whom I have spoken in old time by my servants the prophets of Israel, which prophesied in those days many years that I would bring thee against them? And it shall come to pass, at the same time when Gog shall come against the land of Israel, saith the Lord God, that my fury shall come up in my face. For in my jealousy and in the fire of my wrath have I spoken. Surely in that day there shall be a great shaking in the land of Israel. And here's what the shaking is going to be like. So that the fishes of the sea, and the fowls of the heaven, and the beasts of the field, and all creeping things that creep upon the earth, and all the men that are upon the face of the earth shall shake at my presence, and the mountains shall be thrown down, and the steep places shall fall, and every wall shall fall to the ground. And I will call for a sword against him throughout all my mountains, saith the Lord God. Every man's sword shall be against his brother. And I will plead against him with pestilence and with blood. And I will rain upon him and upon his bands and upon the many people that are with him, an overflowing rain and great hailstones, fire and brimstone. Thus will I magnify myself and sanctify myself, and I will be known in the eyes of many nations, and they shall know that I am the Lord. Again, the theme of Ezekiel, that they shall know that I am the Lord. We see that over and over again. Let me just give you some information that I have from this chapter, and then we'll talk about it. There we go. Just a little background. It says this, it says the attack will come from the north. Look at this. It says this in verse 15. It says, and thou shalt come from thy place out of the north parts. Now, I've read, so what I tried to do first, I just said, I'm going to take Ezekiel 38 and just write down facts that I see from this chapter, and that's what I've tried to do here. And I don't think, now this is just my opinion, I don't think there's great significance that it said they will come from the north. Because it said that the Assyrians would come from the north, it said the Babylonians would come from the north, and if you know, the Babylonians actually came from the east and they came westward. But what it was is the avenue of attack always in Israel is from the north. Does this mean that the attackers will be from the north? The geography that God lists out here, we'll see that in just a second, looks like there's going to be a surrounding around Israel. And so I just tell you, it says that thou shalt come from thy place out of the north parts, right? If anything, thy place would indicate that it's potentially that they're going to come from the north, from countries from the north, from their place in the north. But I highlight that. It's interesting that it says on horses. Look at verse 4. It says, and I will turn thee back and put hooks into thy jaws, and I will bring thee forth in all thine army, horses and horsemen. Look, if you will, at verse 15. And thou shalt come from thy place out of the north parts, thou and many people with thee, all of them riding upon horses, a great company and a mighty army. And it's just interesting. It speaks of horses, right? So I just highlight that. When will this occur? It says in, I want you to see in verse 8, it says, in the latter years. After many days, look at verse 8, thou shalt be visited. In the latter years, thou shalt come into the land that is brought back from the sword. So Ezekiel and the pronouncement from God says, in the latter years this will happen, right? It also says in verse 16, it says, in the latter days. Look at verse 16. And thou shalt come up against my people of Israel as a cloud to cover the land. It shall be in the latter days. One final thing I want you to see, and I think I put that up there. Yeah, at a time of peace. I didn't put verse 11. You should see it in verse 11. You would actually see it elsewhere. You'll see it in verse 8. Look at the end of verse 8, speaking of Israel. And they shall dwell safely, all of them. Then look at verse 11. And thou shalt say, I will go up to the land of unwalled villages. I will go to them that are at rest, that dwell safely, all of them dwelling without walls and having neither bars nor gates. So when will this occur? It says in the latter years. When will this occur? In the latter days. When will this occur? At a time of peace for Israel. Now let's look at the attackers. Let's look at the attackers. First, if you want to put a reference by verses 1, I don't know how you put it. You just want to put Genesis 10, 1 through 3. Turn back to Genesis chapter 10, 1 through 3. We're going to see most of these nations, most of these peoples mentioned as descendants of Japheth. Ham, Shem, and Japheth, the three sons of Noah. Look at Genesis chapter 10, verses 1 to 3. Genesis chapter 10 says this. Now these are the generations of the sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And unto them were sons born after the flood. The sons of Japheth, Gomer, we saw him here in Ezekiel 38. And Magog, we saw him here in, or Magog just means the land of Gog. We see Magog mentioned here in chapter 38. So the sons of Japheth, Gomer and Magog and Madai and Javan and Tubal, we saw Tubal mentioned here. And Meshech, saw that. And Tyrus, and the sons of Gomer, we saw that mentioned. Ashkenaz, and Riphath, and Togomar. We saw Togomar. So how many is that? That's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 of these. I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 6 of the 8 are direct descendants, or they have names that are similar or identical to the descendants of Japheth. So now I'm going to walk through, and I'm not going to spend a ton of time with this. It's just, it is, I love people that love prophecy, and I'm happy for you. But let me just tell you this. I'm not going to take you into the weeds, because I'll tell you this, it would be wrong. Here's what I know. there's going to be a bunch of people attacking Israel in the latter days, in the latter years. But here's kind of the common thought. I will take you here. It's Meshach and Tubal. Is that Russia? So Meshach, it has been translated into Moscow. And so it is Tubal, Tobolsk. And Moscow is the western capital of Russia. Tobolsk is the eastern capital of Russia. And so many believe that Meshach and Tubal, and I put Russia, question mark, what is Russia? You know, Russia's changed in our lifetime, but it's going to be from that area. Generally, people believe that it's going to be from the area. If you go straight north out of Israel, guess what you run into? You know, Russia. And so if 15 is literally talking about the geography, then that would match Russia as well. There's a ton of information you can go look at, and it's fascinating that people are passionate about this, and it's good. Here's what I'm telling you to do. Don't get too enamored with the things we don't know exactly about. God makes it fuzzy because he wants it to be fuzzy. He wants us to understand this. I believe that Ezekiel chapter 38 was given to us for the glory of God when this happens. And so it's going to be this. It's going to be for instruction. You know, we call the Bible the roadmap of life. I'm telling you this, during the end times, if you're still here, right? And maybe we will be too, you know. I mean, depending on what if God's not pre-tribulation? I'll be like, what? And so it's this. Turn to the roadmap of life. I'm telling you, it's the roadmap of life, and it's going to be very specific. Why do you think God recorded that they should flee into the mountains of Judea? Why would he have 144,000 Jews be witnesses? It's going to be a message to the Jews and the Gentiles. The Bible says in Revelation there'll be an innumerable company of Gentiles saved. But we know there's going to be 144,000 Jews saved, and they'll be special witnesses for the Lord. And so when the abomination of desolation occurs, God says, flee to the mountains. How will they know, Steve, to flee to the mountains? Because I'm convinced they've been hearing the Word of God, the New Testament that they've rejected, and they're going to flee to the mountains when they see this abomination of desolation. And so Ezekiel 38 is given for that. The land of Persia is just modern-day Iran, modern-day Iraq. It's where Persia is, right? That would be east of Israel. And then Ethiopia, Libya, Gomer, many believe, is potentially Germany. So you would have, you know, Germany and all its bands, or Gomer and all its bands. It would suggest that it's going to be the company that might be from Western Europe that would be coming against Israel. And then the house of Togomar, many believe that to be Turkey. And so I tell you all this, that if I knew the benefit to take you through this detail, I would do it. Again, I tell you this, I've just been, it's interesting. I'll give you this. This is just a freebie. I feel sorry for Christians that end up getting their livelihood on clicks. Again, I'm not criticizing them. So we need money to live, but here's the reality. If you get, and so I'm not talking about anybody in this room. I'm not really talking about anybody. But if, you know, so you get clicks. You know, how many clicks you get so much advertisement revenue from YouTube or whatever you're doing, right? Here's the reality. I watch every single person that initially I might respect. And where do you go? Where do you go if you want clicks? Not the gospel. That bores people. Oh, we go to Genesis 6, and who are the sons of God? Who cares? Oh, what was Ham's sin? Who cares? Because if God wanted us to know, he'd tell us. Now, I'm not saying you might not have a little care. It's in the Word of God. But that's tickling of ears. It'll get you clicks. I know this. We'll go through Revelation again. If I preach the book of Revelation, attendance would increase. People are fascinated by that, but you know what we need to be fascinated by is Jesus Christ in his way, in doing his work, and enjoy this as well. But what I do love is I think, and so I might not be, meeting all of your needs with prophecy, and you go study it. I'll tell you this. If you want to understand this in grave detail, FBI does an amazing job of this. And so that's not me criticizing what he does in FBI. There's a place for this, right? I just don't think it's from the pulpit, at least from my pulpit. And so I'm not criticizing anybody that goes into the vast details of it. You follow me? But I'm just telling you this. It is, here's all it is. The attackers, it's going to be from, if you think of Israel, it's going to be from the north, the west, the east, and the south. I could have just said northwest, east, north, south, east, west, you know. But it's, I was just thinking of, you know, Gomer. I was thinking of, you know, Russia. I was thinking, you know, of Persia. And then I'm thinking of Ethiopia and Libya. And it's just going to be a full attack on Israel. And the question is, has this happened? I'm convinced of this. When it says in the latter years, and I love the Lord, just in case we could have debate in the latter years, it says in the latter days. And so I'm going to preach a message tonight that just says, what can we learn? And I'll make more note of this. There's a ton of discussion on who is this person? Who is, look at chapter 38, verse 1. It says, Son of man, set thy face against Gog, the land of Magog, the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal, and prophesy against him. You notice that it speaks of being against him throughout this chapter. I've still got more work to do to where I'm convinced, but could this be the Antichrist that leads forces against Israel? Now, here's what's interesting. I'll take you this later. This cannot be when Jesus returns. And I will tell you this, the reason why I believe it cannot be when Jesus returns is because, look at verse 16. What the Lord says in verse 16, and I'll get there later, but just in case. He says, And thou shalt come up against my people of Israel. He's talking about the chief prince, Gog. He says, And thou shalt come up against my people of Israel as a cloud to cover the land. It shall be in the latter days, and I will bring thee against my land. Why? I love this. That the heathen may know me when I shall be sanctified in thee, O Gog, before their eyes. I will tell you this. The heathen will be dead when Jesus puts foot back down on this earth. I don't think the heathen are going to be going to know the Lord. They're going to be slaughtered when Jesus returns. And I think this would be, if you ask me, it's going to be when there is a time of peace. If you take the 7-year tribulation and there's a time of peace, it's false peace by the Antichrist, but that's when I think it would be in the earlier parts or the first half, somewhere in the first half of the tribulation, not the latter half. That's what I believe. Now let's see what the Lord has for us. I want you to see this in verse 4. He says this. He says verse 4. And I will turn thee back. He's talking to this chief prince here. He's talking to this chief prince and all that will follow him. And he said, I will turn thee back and put hooks into thy jaws. Remember, he uses that same terminology. I think it's Ezekiel chapter 29. Maybe it's 19. Maybe it's 29. I can't remember when he's speaking of Egypt. I think it's 29. When he speaks of Egypt, he says he will put hooks in their jaws, giving that visual. He says, And I will turn thee back and put hooks into thy jaws, and I will bring thee forth and all thine army, horses and horsemen, all of them clothed with all sorts of armor, even a great company with bucklers and shields, all of them handling swords. And then look at verse 7. He says, do I have that right? Yeah, he says, where does he say that? Where does he say, I didn't put in my references right, where does he say, and I will be against thee? He says this here. Oh, verse 3. Okay, verse 3. He says, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I am against thee, O God. And it's when God is against thee, verse 4, the best military equipment can't protect you. And so it's just outlining this here. He says, thine army, thy horses, thy horsemen, all of them clothed with all sorts of armor, even a great company with bucklers and shields, all of them handling swords. When God is against you, nothing can stop him. The worst state that you can have is for God to be against you. The best state to have is if God is for you. Greater is he that is in me than he is that is in the world. If he be for us, who can be against us? But I will tell you this, if he is against us, it doesn't matter who's for you. Understand this, that's the dilemma. Every single person we meet, is God for you? Only if you know Jesus Christ. Oh, he has mercy on you. Oh, he will save you, but you are not one of his children except by faith in Jesus Christ. If God is against you, nothing will help you. The terrible state. I was talking to Ron a little bit tonight, and the reality is this. If you're not obeying God, I think your prayers are a waste of time. You think God's going to hear you when you're not obeying him? So if you don't think God's listening to you, maybe it's sin, right? Because when we deal with these young believers that just aren't obeying God and they seem to have problems, right? I mean, I told one, this is a while back. I won't name names, but it is, they were saying, I'm having all this trouble. And I said, it's exactly what I would expect. You're not obeying God. I said, God's just being good to you, giving you all this trouble. And I said, you want me to pray that you won't have this trouble. I said, I can't until you start obeying. I want you to understand this. If you aren't obeying and you don't have trouble, that's a red flag, right? But I want you to know this, is God is merciful. And he's not out there to zap you, but he said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. And that's just, it doesn't have to be this deep, dark sin. If you're just not obeying God, I mean, if I'm not treating my wife right, my prayers will be hindered. Right? And we kind of discount that, right? I want you to understand this. You want God to be for you. All it does is just say this. Just submit to God and honor him. Just submit to God and honor him. If you think God's not hearing you, then wake up and say, I wonder why he's not. Are you obeying God? Are you difficult? Are you getting in the way of God? The Bible's pretty simple, right? God delights in helping us. Amen? We are the barrier to God's blessings. And he has mercy on us. I'm telling you, God has mercy on us. You don't want to have the Lord against you. When God is against you, no armor can protect you. And I want you to see this. Look at verse 7. This is so interesting. Verse 7 says, be thou prepared. And we are in Ezekiel chapter 38. Do you have a Bible? One of our ladies will get you a Bible as well. It's good to have you tonight. And so we're in Ezekiel chapter 38, verse 7. And God is telling, he's telling Gog, he's telling this chief prince, he's telling this chief prince here, he's saying, verse 7 is just interesting to me. He says, be prepared. We've seen that before in Jeremiah, where Jeremiah was instructing the enemies of God. He said, be prepared. Be thou prepared, and prepare for thyself, thou and all thy company that are assembled unto thee, and be thou a guard unto them. Be ready. Why would God do that? Well, he tells us in verse 16 why he's going to bring destruction against Gog. It's so that the heathen will know that he is the Lord. No excuses. Gog's going to be ready. He's going to have everything put together. He's going to be prepared. Everything's going to be top notch. And God's going to obliterate it. The heathen will be in awe. Why would God do that if it is in the middle of the tribulation in that time frame? Because God is merciful. God would want himself to be known in the middle of the tribulation, and if it is in that time frame of the middle, the last half is going to be the worst ever. God would want himself to be known so that people remember that God is a God that is to be feared. Darielle asked me last night. She thought she knew the answer. She looked at me and she said, somebody in my school says that we're supposed to fear God. She goes, that's not right, is it? I said, it is right. And I said, but I want you to understand this. It is that we need to know and understand He is God and we are not. And we will answer for our sin, and the only hope that we have is Jesus Christ. I said, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Did you guys make that visit tonight? Was it good? Nobody home. Nobody home. Nobody answered. Okay, well, I'm still praying about that, right? So that's good. That's good. And you're the good cop. So I'm going to wait till the good cop gets an answer. And so there's going to be this place, right? So Randall's the good cop, and he's going to go, and he's nicer than me. And no matter how it comes across, right, I try to be like Randall, and I just can't be. And so Randall's going to be the good cop, but I'll tell you this. If they don't respond well, and I think they're going to respond well. I gave Bill the option the other day. I said, what do you think I'm going to be, the good cop or the bad cop? Did I give you the option? No, it was Nassim. I gave Nassim the option. I said, you think I'm going to be the good cop or the bad cop? Jerk. He said I was going to be the bad cop. I said, well, you know, I have to fake a lot. But if I were to go, and I want you to be Randall and just love, and they need to love. But you know what I want to do if they reject you? I want to help them have the fear of the Lord. I talked to a friend the other day, and he reminded me of a story. And we trust in the Lord, but you know this? I will tell you this. You might have some friends where you want them to have the fear of the Lord and say, do you know who you're messing with? This is God. I remember it's been about 10 years ago. And these deacons, you never know who I'm talking about, okay? These deacons did something horrendous, something they had no authority to do. And they didn't know me at all. I get a phone call, and they said, they did this. And they said, they're willing to talk to you. They're willing to talk to you. And so I was so irritated, and I really did. I don't want to be involved. I mean, who am I? I told him, I said, what authority did you have to do this? I said, I can't believe you didn't have enough respect for God not to do this. And a couple of the deacons started crying. And I said, you're in trouble. I said, you have no authority to do this. They said, well, we'll reverse it. I said, too late. And I said, you need to make it right with this guy. They booted a pastor without even bringing it up to the church. Gone. We didn't like him. We did the church a favor. I said, you didn't do anybody a favor. You just took authority you weren't given. And it improved after a while. But I want to help you with this. I'm going to let the Holy Spirit, but I'll tell you this. Do you fear God? Do you fear the Lord? I'm just telling you this. I see it too much in Christianity today. I see it too much in Christianity today. You know what? It's not my job. It's not your job. It's not your job to run another Christian down the road. It's just not. Stay away from it. Let God deal with it. Do we not have enough challenges as Hope Baptist Church to try to honor the Lord? Stay away from it. Don't get on social media. I'm just telling you this. Don't like anything that rips on a Christian. Why do we need to be part of that? It's just, you know what? Let God take care of it. You pray for them. And I'm just saying, I see it too often. Too often. No place for that. No place for that. We need to fear the Lord and know that He is the one that will take care of this. And when I tell you this, no human preparation can save you. Human preparation. The only preparation that will save you is the work of Christ. The Lord tells them this in verse 7. He says, get everything ready. I'm coming. And I want everybody to know that you were ready. So when you fall, the heathen will know that I am the Lord. That's the mercy of God. You see, I think we need to learn from this. Do we? Look, I love the Lord. And I know the Lord loves me. And I love this tonight. I love this. It was just a privilege. When we talked to Lee's sister-in-law, And I just told her, I said, I just don't want you to forget. I said, you know God loves you. She just began to weep. Man, you know what I thought? I thought, do I enjoy the love of God the way that she was just reminded? You see, but I also know this. It's like this. Every one of us, most of us maybe, I knew my dad loved me. My dad was a big fan of me. He was back in the old school where, you know, the firstborn son was everything. But I was terrified of my dad. I knew he loved me, but I didn't want to mess with my dad. I'm not even saying that's the perfect example, but I want to tell you this. I know God loves me. I don't want to bring his chastisement on me. When he chastens, it's grievous. But he does it so the perfect fruits of righteousness will be performed. You see, there is much that we can learn. Well, what are the issues? What led this man, this person, to do this? I want you to see this. Look at verse 10. He says this, "Thus saith the Lord God, it shall also come to pass that at the same time shall things come into thy mind, and thou shalt think an evil thought." And so things are going peachy keen for Israel. They're dwelling safely, all of them. It seems like a time of tranquility. Everything's going well. And so I want you to know this. This is important. Every single person. How many of you, I'm going to ask this question, so you're going to have to raise your hand, because if you don't raise your hand, then you're telling on yourself. How many of you did not have an evil thought race through your mind since Sunday? I love you girls. That's great. That's great. We adults should be ashamed. How many of you did not have an evil thought run through your mind? What are we to do? We are to cast it down. Cast every imagination that is against the Lord. We need to cast it down. Here's what happens. Evil thoughts run through your mind. You know what I love? You're not weird. You're not weird. I'm not weird. But I'll tell you this. To dwell on it is destruction. You got to cast it down, put it away, stop thinking about it, focus on the Lord, and don't dwell on the evil thoughts. The Bible is so amazing that this evil man that the Bible talks about here, that's going to be utterly destroyed. And when you see this, all the bands with him, it is when you see this, right? It is, where did it begin? With an evil thought. What are you going to do with evil thoughts? Are you going to pet them? Think on them? Dwell on them? I will tell you this, it'll be to your destruction. Second thing I want you to see, look at verse 11. He says, "And thou shalt say, I will go up to the land of unwalled villages. I will go to them that are at rest, that dwell safely, all of them dwelling without walls and having neither bars nor gates." It is attacking the helpless. Attacking the helpless. I'll tell you this, it is... we need to take more heed to this, because the Bible speaks of this often. I didn't dwell on this, I don't think, enough in James, where the Lord talks about people taking advantage of the weak. That ought not to be a part of a Christian, taking advantage of the weak. Well, that's what his motive was. And then what's the final motive? It's greed. Usually it does come back to money and things and stuff. Look at verse 12. He says, "To take a spoil and to take a prey, to turn thine hand upon the desolate places that are now inhabited, and upon the people that are gathered out of the nations, which have gotten cattle and goods, that dwell in the midst of the land, Sheba and Dedan and the merchants of Tarshish, with all the young lions thereof, shall say unto thee, Art thou come to take a spoil? Hast thou gathered thy company to take a prey, to carry away silver and gold, to take away cattle and goods, to take a great spoil?" Always about money. What are you pursuing? Is it money? Is it stuff? It's never worth it. It's never worth it. The destruction. This isn't, you know, wouldn't it be interesting? What were the embers that started in Hitler's heart? Hitler, one of the most evil men ever to live. Where did it begin? Evil thought? Greed? Power? Probably something super simple, super simple. Your sin will find you out. That happens to be the sin of not doing what God told us to do, the sin of omission, right? There's sins of commission. That's the Galatians 6:7 that says we'll reap what we sow. The issues. For this evil man, Gog, the prince, chief prince of Meshach and Tubal, it was evil thoughts attacking the helpless. I tell you this, I told you this already, the purpose of God was that the heathen may know God. We've already talked that. And I want you to see this, the fury of God's wrath. Look at verse 18. And it shall come to pass at the same time when Gog shall come against the land of Israel, saith the Lord God, that my fury shall come up in my face. I don't even know how to represent God with this. God can have fury come up in his face and be calm and fully controlled. Do you know what God's fury looks like? I know what the outcome of his fury looks like. But see, if I'm furious, right? Not a good scene, right, Clay? You've never seen me furious. Ron, have you ever been furious and it been a good scene? The scene, you ever been furious and it be a good scene? That's not. Don't imagine that's what God looks like when he's furious. You see, that's why we struggle with it, right? Because the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God, right? When we have fury, we're out of control, right? Fury, you know, the fury of flame, just out of control. God can have fury at the highest level, and he's not like our fury. I don't know what it looks like, Erica. I know what the outcome looks like. But be careful that we don't put our face on God with fury. You understand that? Be careful. I don't know how to describe it except for you don't want to be in the line of his fury, do you? And so here's what he does. It's fascinating to me. A great shaking. Look at verse 19. I highlighted this a little bit when I was reading it. For in my jealousy, in the fire of my wrath have I spoken. Surely in that day there shall be a great shaking in the land of Israel. I do love that there's a verse 20. What does that mean? Well, he tells you. So that the fishes of the sea. Is this a major earthquake? Well, it's earth shaking, whatever. But the fishes of the sea. Will there be tsunamis? I don't know. So that the fishes of the sea and the fowls of the heaven. What? The fowls of the heaven? So when this great shaking, it's going to be the fish in the sea. And how do the birds in the air feel the shaking? I don't know. That's what it says, right? So the fishes of the sea and the fowls of the heaven and the beasts of the field and all creeping things that creep upon the earth. I love the Bible language. They're creepy things, right? Don't you love that? And all the creeping things that creep upon the earth that I pray will not be creeping during the millennium. And all creeping things that creep upon the earth and all the men that are upon the face of the earth shall shake at my presence. And the mountains shall be thrown down and the steep places shall fall. And every wall shall fall to the ground. Something unique. Major chaos. Look at verse 21. He says, and I will call for a sword against him throughout all my mountains, saith the Lord God. Every man's sword shall be against his brother. Now there's several ways you can think about this. Will this be like the Civil War, where brother fights against brother? Or will it be the chaos that God brought at times against different armies of the enemies of Israel, like the Assyrians, when they killed each other? Remember that? And God had them so panicked in such chaos. And so can you imagine this shaking that's going to happen? And then everybody panics and they begin to fight against one another and they begin to slaughter one another. Major chaos. You'll see here in verse 22. He says so that verse 22, and I will plead against him with pestilence and with blood. So pestilence, bugs, sickness, disease. And I will plead against him with pestilence and with blood. And then it says this. This is an amazing thing. And he says this, and I will rain upon him and upon his bands, and upon the many people that are with him, an overflowing rain, and great hailstones, fire, and brimstone. It's interesting, right? It's God's fury will be unleashed. And then he says this in verse 23. Thus will I magnify myself and sanctify myself. And I will be known in the eyes of many nations, and they shall know that I am the Lord. God will magnify and sanctify himself. Here's the question. If something like that happened today, would people think it's God? I don't think so. There's going to be something so unique, so special, that everybody's going to go. Okay, does it say everybody? It doesn't. It says, thus will I magnify myself and sanctify myself, and I will be known in the eyes of many nations, and they shall know that I am the Lord. It's going to be such, and when it says many nations, I just wanted to make sure I was catching that right. It's going to be such, though, that God will be magnified, that God will be glorified. And can you see this? How the devil's setting everything up so that God is never magnified? And remember this, how is God magnified? Through great judgment that he brings upon the earth, right? You see, God should be magnified when a major hurricane comes through. We should understand this. He is against us. Do you think God delights in hurricanes? When he allows them, we should bow before him. When he causes them, I don't have any problem with him causing them. I, for judgment's sake, we should bow before him. But has the devil fooled this world? Global warming? It is all the goofiness that this world has. I'm convinced it's to take away glory from God. God doesn't back away when he says, hey, when there's trouble, it's from me. You deserve it. What we need to do is fear the Lord, humble ourselves before him, and trust in him. I want you to know this. When times get tough, and I think times are going to get tough, I've been off. I'm telling you, there's no way I thought we've got it made in 2023. I didn't think we were going to. I thought my house would be packed, because people are going to be falling apart financially and chaos is coming. I don't want it. But we better be ready to serve the Lord. And you know this? Let's not be soft. Let's fear the Lord, knowing confidently that he loves us. You understand this? I want us to be able to deal with difficulty and trouble. And here's what we ought to do. Magnify the Lord. Magnify the Lord. Magnify the Lord. I've got one job every day. Magnify the Lord. Magnify the Lord. Everything I do, magnify the Lord. Magnify the Lord. You see, it's interesting. This leader here. Who is he? Is he killed here? We'll leave that to God. But I'll tell you this, you don't want God to be against you. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this chapter. I've tried to say, how do we